Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Pet Boarding and Daycare Podcast, the show that shares the secrets to unleashing the next phase of your pet business growth. Get ready for exclusive industry news, inspiring owner stories, and expert insights for growing a super successful pet care business. It's all happening right here on the Pet Boarding and Daycare Podcast, sponsored by Barclay Productions. Now, take your seats because the show is about to begin. Here's your host, the Pet Biz Whiz himself, Dominic Hodgson.
Well, hello, howdy, hola, and welcome to another episode of the Pet Boarding and Daycare Podcast with me, your host, Dom Hodgson. We have a fun-filled packed show for you today, including some dog news. We're going to hear from our show sponsor, and the special guest today is Eve Malzahn from Dog Handler Academy. Eve is going to be sharing how she has developed and diversified her business over the years. There's some really awesome diversification tips in there and stories, and yeah, you're going to get tons of useful information out of this interview. Before we dive into that, I must remind you that we are less than 4 weeks away from the start of the Pet Boarding and Daycare Expo West, which is happening in Las Vegas, Nevada. From May 20th to the 23rd. You can go to petboardingexpowest.com to grab your ticket. I'm going to be speaking there. My buddy Fern's going to be speaking. Eve, who's on this show, she's going to be speaking as well. And Dog Handler Academy is one of the sponsors. It's going to be awesome. I mean, this is the perfect way to, you know, set yourself up for success for the rest of the year. You know, you get to spend time with fellow ambitious, impactful pet business owners. You get to learn from industry experts from right across the industry. Enrichment experts, financial experts, growth experts, selling experts, staffing experts, you know, and then marketing and sales experts as well. It's all going to be there. I attended last year, so I went it was at the horse show last year too, and I had an amazing time. I did the keynote, and it blew me away. I spoke to a bunch of different people when I was kind of walking around the conference and the trade show, and everyone's really buzzing, you know, everyone's like taking away a bunch of notes and they're making great connections and they're getting re-energized again, you know, because it could be so lonely being a business owner, and not that you're stuck in your facility, you love being there, you love your staff and everything, but it's just great to get out, get away, give your head some space to fix itself and to have some new ideas and to like re-energize yourself so you go back and build a better business. And I spoke to a lot of people. There were people there who have, you know, they've grown multiple businesses in the industry, they've sold multiple businesses, and like they were still at the expo making connections and looking for that edge. So if you haven't registered yet, I just spoke to Rebecca, we're going to be hearing from her hopefully next week. If you haven't registered yet, the registrations are going really, really well. I think you need to get in before the 20th to get the special 20% kind of discount that they're doing. So yeah, you can go to petboardingexpowest.com to register your space now. I'll see you there. Okay, we're going to have a quick word from our show sponsor and then we'll dive straight into some dog news. Have you ever considered selling your pet resort or partnering with a financial backer to help you grow your brand? If so, I want to introduce you to one of our exclusive sponsors, Pet Resort Hospitality Group. Founded by industry experts with the goal of building a family of the highest quality pet boarding and daycare brands, Pet Resort Hospitality Group ensure a fair price for your business, a seamless transition, and long-term support for your team, and they'll protect your brand in the community you serve. Check them out at petresorts.love with a link in the show notes. They'll be happy to chat with you about what the future of your business could look like if you ever want to sell. And tell them your buddy Dom sent you. Dog news. World's first doggy jet service will cost you $6,000 for a one-way ticket. This was reported recently in USA Today, the travel section, and Bark, the dog toy company who they do subscription boxes and dental treats, that kind of thing, they have partnered with a jet charter service to take away the challenges of long-distance traveling with your dogs. And according to the press release, the company called it the white glove experience, typical of a human's first class experience, and redirected all of that amazing first class travel, so that you can pamper your pooch on a flight. And I think this story is really a couple of things. It's really kind of indicative of the amount of money that people are prepared to spend on their dogs. Flying with dogs isn't new. People have been doing it for a lot of years, but it's becoming a bit more mainstream. You know, it's the mass affluent will be people who will be taking advantage of this kind of service. Often when I'm coaching with clients, and we're increasing prices and we're introducing upsells, or we're introducing a membership, or we're kind of changing how we onboard clients and we induct the dogs into the daycare and we introduce a whole new much higher price service, the client often, I often have to push the client to offer more, to sell more, you know, just because someone has come into the daycare and they're spending a ton of money on a bunch of different things that we're offering them, doesn't mean to say that they won't spend a ton more money on training services, on grooming services, if it is appropriate for the dog and the client, obviously. This is something that you should be offering. And yeah, this is, you know, we know how much people love their dogs. They treat them like children. They want the best for them. They're prepared to spend on activities and enrichments and pampering and all this kind of thing. And whether you think it's a good thing or whether you think it's a bad thing, it doesn't matter. It's happened now. Like the ship has sailed, the horse has bolted. Like, this is it. This is what we're in. And no doubt at all, if you're listening to this show, you provide a really high class, top level service. Just make sure that you are charging a high class, top level price for it, and make sure that you are positioning it as this, like what Bark have done here, you know, with this white glove experience, typical of a human's first class travel experience. You know, you should be positioning your services as like a premium educational enrichment experience for a dog, which is a similar kind of thing that, you know, the dog owner's children will be getting at their local school or at their local Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts club, that kind of thing. So yeah, there's, you know, the pet industry has been on a hell of a run for the last decade or so, and it still has further to go. but the kind of the bigger growth, I think, the more easier growth is going to come from position your service as something that more affluent dog owners are looking for. So maybe this is something that we'll talk about next week when I do a special pricing episode of the podcast. Anyway, let's crack on with today's interview. Eve, give us a bit of an introduction. Tell everybody a little bit about you and what you do and where you're based. Go for it.
All righty. So I am Eve Molzon. I am in La Crosse, Wisconsin, Midwestern, a smaller town, less than 100,000 people. I've had my dog daycare business, Fun for Pets, for 10 years. And then during COVID was really good to me in the sense that it allowed me to take a break and evaluate where I wanted to be in the dog industry. I created and have now licensed a dog school program. So I have a dog school in Minneapolis, Minnesota, called Dog School of Minnesota. And then I sell those licenses to other trainers. And then as COVID ended, I was like, wow, how am I going to train a whole bunch of staff? Because, you know, like everybody else, I did have to lay people off. So I created Dog Handler Academy, an online employee training platform that's fully automated because I get distracted easily. So I created that platform. We have over 1,000 users of that platform, and we are in 13 countries. And then I got a wild hair up my butt and decided to open up a second business as well, brick and mortar. So I also have Possum Pets Country Club in Holman, Wisconsin, and that just opened in March. So we're coming right up on our 1-year anniversary.
Wow, fantastic. Brilliant. Busy lady. This is why I wanted to get you on. Apart from the fact that I like talking to you anyway. Brilliant. Well, we'll unpick all of that in a bit. Give us the doggy origin story. So how did you end up kind of transitioning to getting into the pet care space altogether? And, you know, what jobs have you had in the past, that kind of thing? Quick origin story.
Yeah. So I was in business in the sense of I always worked for companies, and I was like sales director, vice president of sales. I worked in corporate America for big corporations, did a lot of HR, sales, legal, and marketing. And when I first started, so 24 years ago, my intro into dogs was I sat on my town board of 2,000 people. And the treasurer said, hey, there's this service dog group that could really use help. Like, they just kind of got together. They need some fundraising help. Could you help them out? And I was like, I already sit on 7 other boards. But yeah, you know, let me know when their next meeting is. Well, it's tomorrow. I said, well, I can't make tomorrow, but maybe in a couple of days, I can like connect with you. She calls me the day after last and says, hey, I have good news and bad news. I said, what's that? And she goes, well, the good news is that I spoke so highly of you, they voted you in as president. And I was like, okay, so what's the bad news? She goes, they only have $100 in their savings and they need to do a fundraiser. I said, okay, you have those reversed. I'm great at raising money. I like don't have time to be president of a nonprofit. And she's like, well, there you go. It's been 23 years. I'm still president of that nonprofit. We're actually training our last service dog, and then we're going to disband the nonprofit. So this year will be kind of a milestone for that. But yeah, so that's how I got into dogs. Formally, prior to that, just had hunting dogs. But yeah, the service dog industry is really kind of what made me create Fun for Pets, because I needed a place that I could raise foster puppies in bulk and work on training them outside of my house, because having 8 dogs in your house is, you know, a little tricky. So yeah, it was great. So that's kind of how I got started from it. But yeah, I have a complete business background working for corporate America. Pros and cons to that are, you know, I don't have other departments to hand stuff off to. It's all me.
Yeah, for sure. So was there a reason then why you kind of chose to, instead of kind of expanding the daycare, so am I right, your first business was a daycare, yeah? So what did you do? Daycare, boarding.
And then we created dog school within Fun for Pets. And then I also have a nonprofit that operates inside Fun for Pets as well.
Right, cool. So was there a reason why you didn't choose to go to 1 location, 2 location, 3, 4, 5 with Fun for Pets and go down the training route?
Yeah, so good question. When I created dog school, I was like, wow, this is such a great program. I'm like, I hear from so many solo trainers that they don't know how to manage their time. They work 7 days a week, you know, they're getting burned out. And so I was like, well, I wonder if dog school could like live on its own without a daycare and a boarding. So I created Dog School of Minnesota as kind of a proof of concept, and it's profitable. So, you know, 2 trainers can come together, or a solo trainer can come together and work 4 days a week, 4 days a week, have a 3-day weekend, and earn money for a living. That to me is phenomenal, you know, because we all need to have that work-life balance. And so creating a dog school program was super helpful in that. So, and I wanted to make sure that I could see that one through. So that's why I created the dog school as a separate entity up in Minneapolis. And that's 2.5 hours away from me. So every couple of weeks, I take a little hike and go see them and whatnot. And then my second location.
Yeah, it's
Yes,
quite
and then
common.
I sell, yep, nope. And then I have a whole program of how to create your own dog school, and I sell that as a licensing arrangement. So we help you like get everything set up. And then creating Possum Pets Country Club, I did name that different because I didn't want confusion. Fun for Pets North or Fun for Pets South or, you know, that type of thing. Also, my intention is not to keep it. My intention was to build it, see it through. That one was a build from the ground up to where my Fun for Pets was a here's an existing building and then retrofit. So now I have experience in both, pros and cons to both. But yeah, my goal for Possum Pets Country Club is to just build it up and then sell it off eventually.
Cool, cool. Sell it off as just the one entity?
Yep. So I'll still be the landlord, but sell off the business. Yep. Yep. As its own entity.
Cool.
And then with that facility, I built on a drive-through coffee shop. So when you pull up, you drop your dog off, you back out, and then you pull through and get your coffee and go to work.
Super smart, super smart. So I'm very interested. That's what I'm interested in is, because this is such a fun industry. I mean, it's a fun industry anyway. It doesn't matter what you do,
so much.
Whether you're a, you know, daycare trainer, walker, groomer, whatever. People find their thing they love, and if they're smart with marketing, they can make a really big impact and
absolutely
make a great living around it. However, there are also lots of other things you can do as well, you know, as you've done and I've done similar, you know, going in different directions. And I'm really interested in just like the journey that you've gone on and the different kind of assets that you're creating, because one of the things that can transform the economics of your business and the money that you earn in your life is the ability to like sell beyond the borders of your town, you know. And you've kind
Correct.
of done that with your the licensing that you've got for dog school. That's super smart. Obviously you've done that with Dog Handler Academy as well, haven't you? You've purposefully created something that is obviously highly valuable, highly useful, but it's highly leveraged for you as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got kind of, you've been more intentional, I guess, haven't you? I'm saying as time's gone on about.
Very much so. Yeah. You know, so many times in our industry, people think, I just need to grow my daycare. I just need to grow my daycare. When you grow that daycare number, then grows your staff expense. Oh. Like it's not necessarily the way you want to go. You want to find that sweet spot. So like I can take at Fun for Pets, 110 dogs a day is like our sweet spot. I could take 140, but 110 to 100, like that's our sweet spot right there. And then above that, then it gets a little chaotic. So it's not, you don't necessarily always just want to grow that number. You want to figure out, how can I provide additional value either to those existing clients, or how can I bring in clients who need a different piece from me? So that's the other thing too. My two daycares operate very differently. Fun for Pets, you make your reservation and you pay for your day. Possum Pets, it's a $10 a month membership fee, and then you pay for your daycare day. So,
love that model.
Yeah, so I did them differently. Possum is very much enrichment based. We do a weekly activity. So it's just, it's, you know, to where Fun for Pets is your traditional daycare play day. So having different types. So like if I can certainly tell somebody, hey, you know what? Your dog's not the right fit for Fun for Pets, but I have Possum Pets Country Club that your dog might be a better fit for. You are not going to be one for everything. So it's diversifying your offerings without just trying to like cram everybody into one little hole.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, I guess this is for people who are they've been in the business a little while, is like thinking of, okay, well, I'm not trying, obviously I'm trying to get a balance here between like, we love, you know, we love what we do. We love pets. We all, you know, we love helping people, you know, but like, this is a pretty unique industry, you know, and there are so many opportunities. And like one of the things I would say in my mastermind, I wouldn't say it very often on a podcast, but like when we're thinking about the business, you know, it's like, okay, what are all the other ways that we can make money out of this? And I'm not saying that as like a, you know,
you know,
Right.
oh, give me, show me the green stuff. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously behind that is the intention of, you know, we want to have an impact and we want to do good for the oh, community
absolutely.
And everything. I feel exactly the same
yes.
way, you know, but like there are so many other ways you can do this. And I think you're a fantastic okay. example of somebody who is, you know, you're pushing yourself and you're trying different things and you've got these four different models. I didn't know you had four different models, actually, before we started this podcast, because I didn't know a lot about the dog school. So that's like even better. But yeah, like so with like Dog Handler Academy, that's probably the best example or the easiest example where you were creating, you wanted to create videos for your staff anyway. So you're creating yep. this like asset. And then it's like it's something that is super useful for other people as well, because you've perfected the systems and you've practiced them, you know, and you've got them working and your locations, and like it's a great way to just repurpose something that you've created that benefits other people, and it provides another income stream for you.
Absolutely. And, you know, and like you said, I created Dog Handler Academy selfishly at first. Just shooting videos in my facility going, okay, I need to, how am I going to train 12 people all at once and do it effectively and efficiently and make sure they're all getting the same right amount of knowledge. And, you know, when, and then I would like send the videos over to other dog daycare friends, like, hey, can you just have somebody watch this and does it make sense? And they're like, yeah. Hey, can I use this for my staff? I'm like, yeah. And then I was like, So yeah, and that's just it. So it was intentionally created, unintentionally became a business. And now it's just adding so much great value to it. You know, right now we have our four modules that get staffers up to speed in less than 30 days, teach them some life skills. And then now we're adding a handler to trainer course. So you want to add dog training within your facility. We have a course to take your good handler and then make them into an obedience trainer. We'll be releasing a handler to puppy course and then a first aid course here yet this summer. So just going to keep expanding on that as the needs of the industry, you know, reveal themselves. Or if I go, oh my gosh, I need this in my building, which is super important.
Yeah.
Like I never realized how important it was to shoot a video of how do you do laundry in a dog daycare facility? You don't take that towel that has poop all over it and shove it into the washing machine. You want to clean that off first.
Yeah.
Who would have thought you needed a video on that? But you do.
Yeah. And who would have thought people would buy that video? But they do, because they
right?
need that information. Yeah.
Yes. You know, so it's those important things that you have to teach people. And nobody comes into our industry with this great grasp of knowledge of what it is to work in a daycare, right? I mean, we laugh all the time. People think it's just, oh, we just get to play with puppies all day and I just get to cuddle puppies. No, you get to pick up poop, pee, and vomit. Yes, that is your job.
I think one of the things, I think it's a good reason for people to who are listening to this to embrace think about the assets that they have in the business already, and how can they possibly like repurpose them, or how can they possibly change like the media that they're using, you know? So like most people have SOPs, obviously, don't they? You know, they have the SOP, well,
yep.
almost everyone has SOPs, and if they don't, then they should. But like they're
and
all
if they
written
don't,
down.
They can buy mine
well, yeah.
from Dog Handler
yeah.
Academy.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, but like they've got them, and they've got them as a like they're in a book, you know, they've got the book and it's there. And like you took it into using video, you know, and then
yes.
and now you've got something that we're using and we're selling elsewhere. I did a kind of a similar thing. So when I'm going way back now, but when I wrote my first book, I created an online like a dog training in a circle thing, you know, like a it was like an online in a circle, that's what it was. And we had dog owners from all over the world in there, and I created a ton of content. And then when I transitioned into coaching, I just closed that down, because I wasn't, you know, I was, my love was and my passion was with the coaching. And anyway, about a year later, when I started to get more dog walkers asking me about how to improve their business and stuff like that, and I was teaching them about the business, but they didn't really know a lot about how to handle the dog and that kind of thing.
Right.
And so what I did was I took all of the content that I'd created for the dog owner, And I kind of topped and tailed it and added a couple of different, modules and turned it into like a academy for dog walkers, because the content was a similar kind of thing. But,
Absolutely.
so the I think when you're actively creating these assets that you've done, you create possibilities for yourself, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, take something that you already have and repurpose it. Like when we talk about marketing, make sure that you shoot some videos and pictures of last year's holiday party to use that as promos for the upcoming holiday party. You want to talk about how you do enrichment in your facility. Take some videos previously and you can repurpose them and chop them up and then use them to keep marketing it. Everybody always talks in mar if you're in the marketing industry, when your numbers are down, that's not the time to pull back. When your numbers are down, that's the time to refresh and rejuvenate and always keep your name out there. I run radio ads in my market because radio is big here, all year round. Fun for Pets doesn't need the business, but I want to keep my name at the forefront. So if somebody, thinks of things and my stuff is funny. I always say your marketing needs to be funny or solving a problem. Right? So like,
Great
you
advice.
were talking about
Great
your dog
advice.
walkers, right? Like, how do I make my dog walk nicely on a leash? How do I, make my dog not bark at other things, right? So when you talk about your marketing, like here's the problem that people face, and then hey, by having a dog walker work with your dog, you're solving that problem. And that's the big thing we talk about for dog training, hey, my dog is da da da. Great. So all of our marketing is typically either funny stuff like, oh, do you want your dog not to eat the turkey off the kitchen counter on Thanksgiving? Sign him up for dog school in September and we can solve that problem by November. Like, so
To do that,
repurposing.
to do that, you need to have like a calendar, don't you? You need to be working ahead of the
Absolutely.
game, don't you? Yeah? Which I assume you do.
We do. Always can get better. Always can get better. But yeah, no, we absolutely do. Absolutely do. And just talking about like parties and things like that, doing things like if Mondays are your slowest day at daycare. Okay, so Google, fun activity or do the Google calendar of like stupid holidays, right? Like National Popcorn Day or whatever. And then do parties like that on your Monday. And even if you charge $2, $3 extra, that's getting more people to come in on a Monday. And then maybe Monday becomes their regular day because they're like, you know what? I don't want to try and figure out when you have parties. Just always sign me up for Mondays.
You're dead
So
right.
how to
Once
create.
there've been 2 or 3 Mondays, they're just going to come on Mondays.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. It gets to be part of their routine. So that's just another way to add value. And bring in those clientele more often, which is super important. The industry is shifting to working towards memberships, working towards enrichment based and training based daycares. The other thing is think outside the box. I don't have a year yet, but the next business to create will be a homeopathic animal center. So we'll do red laser therapy, we'll do aqua treadmill, we'll do Reiki and massage. So whether that's going to be in one of my existing facilities or as a standalone, I haven't quite figured out. But that's probably going to be late 2024, early 2025, as the next thing. And to me, that's a n it's some of my existing clientele, but I see it bringing in a whole new chunk of clientele.
I think it's interesting that a lot of people would think maybe not. Yeah, they would, I'm sure. A lot of people would think, running a licensing business or running an online business would be easier, than running a brick and
Yeah.
mortar. I can confirm what Eve says. It's you have to market everything, there, and you have to learn
Yes.
the skills to be able to market that thing as well, don't you?
Yeah, Dog Handler Academy is a lot of travel. So I go to 8 different trade shows a year. And some of those I double bubble. I do Dog Handler Academy at that trade show and dog school. And so it just it's a time away. I love the travel. I get to meet phenomenal people like you. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's a different type of exhaustion, and it's a different type of issue to do the traveling and the logistics and being away from home and all those types of things. You know, sometimes I travel with my dog, and sometimes I leave the dog at home. Sometimes I travel with my daughter and my mom, and sometimes I leave them at home. So, yeah, it just presents a whole new group of problems and challenges. But yeah, when it comes to the marketing aspect of it, you always have to be marketing yourself in every business. You know, we are not Bugatti, right? Like, we don't have this like one of a kind thing. We have competitors in all of the different services that I offer. So I do always have to be marketing.
Yeah.
Someday I'll be a Bugatti.
Obviously. Yeah, that's coming. That's
something. I might create one thing. I'll create one thing that's like a Bugatti, that it's so unique I won't have to market it and I won't know what to do with myself.
Yeah, I think we underestimate as well. Bugatti probably have a marketing budget too. Yeah, and you know, you make a good point there that there's like, I think people sometimes think there's one way to do things, and there's not. There's many ways to do things. Eve, what advice would you have for someone who is thinking about doing what you've done? You know, obviously the easiest thing for them to do is just to reach out to you and to invest in one of your many amazing services that you offer. But, you know, somebody who's like, they've got an idea for, you know, they're doing some kick-ass thing in their facility or in their group of facilities that they think is going to be beneficial. How would they go about, you know, testing that and kind of, you know, rolling it out to the wider public?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is you need to put pen to paper. Or in my case, I just voice everything and then my virtuals like figure that out. So if you wanted to, let's just say, create a dog school program or create a dog, let's just say Dog Handler Academy, you wanted to create an employee training piece for something because you know you've got it rocked out. So put pen to paper and really write it out like it is an SOP. Then you need to film it. And then give it to somebody who doesn't own a pet and say, what do you, if I gave this to you, do you know how to do it? And then quiz them. So then ask open-ended questions and see if your video really answered all those questions. So like when I did the one on how to properly, you know, fill the washing machine and empty out the lint dryer, I wrote, my questions were all the things that my staff weren't doing correctly. Like, are you scooping out the little filtration system, you know, are you emptying the lint thing? Are you turning the knob to the, so all the things that I thought they weren't doing right, those were my questions. Then I shot the video of how I wanted it done. I had somebody watch it. And then I asked those questions to see if my video answered the questions.
Fantastic advice.
A little backwards, but that's the way that you make sure that what you're trying to teach solves the problem.
Yeah. And I think I can back that up. Because when going back to when I wrote my first book, and it's one thing to teach people in person, and it's one thing to teach people with a video, but it's when you have to write it down, there's no room for error. People, you can't, you know, you have to tell them exactly how to hold the lead or, you know, or exactly where, you know, it forces you to get crystal clear about, why do I do it this way? You know, and, or, you know, why have I developed this kind of system and this particular methodology of doing things? It forces you to really think about it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. In one of our handler training videos, it's how do you properly mop a floor? You go in a circle eight, you don't just push the mop back and forth. Why do you go in a circle eight? Cause then you're actually capturing the hair and the dirt and you're not just pushing it into a corner and onto the edge. You know, so also explaining the why is it important that we do it this way. So that way, if something changes, like, oh, crap, the mop handle broke, so it's really hard to do the circle eight. Okay, but the objective is not to leave the dirt in the corner. So if I just mop it normal and then squeegee it, I'll get the same result. So as long as they understand the why, and then if they get thrown a curveball, they can make some deductions in order to get to the right result.
Beautiful, beautiful advice, Eve. Eve, Where can people go to find out more about what you do, you know, Dog Handler Academy and stuff?
Sure. Yeah. The best place is doghandleracademy.com. We also have a Facebook page, so you can always check out little snippets. I try and throw a video out there at least once a week on something I'm dealing with or some advice on something I've seen somebody else do. So we do that. I do take visitors. So I actually have some people coming tomorrow to shadow me for a day that want to start their own dog daycare. And I'll throw you in with the dogs. You're going to clean up pee and poop. So just forewarn everybody. This is not a dress in your suit and tie and come and sit in an office. No, I'm putting you to work if you're coming to visit me. That's how that works. And then I'm at all the various trade shows along with Dom here.
Yeah, I'll be in Vegas too. Yeah, so that's coming up. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Pet Boarding and Daycare Expo in Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Hershey.
Hershey too. Yeah, fingers crossed. Eve, why should people come to events?
Because talking to other people in our industry is priceless. So sitting down, you know, after the education is always phenomenal. You are always going to learn something, and that something might be, I don't ever want to do that, or I don't want to have that, or my competitor
does that.
Which
is a very good thing to learn. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I go to all the dog training seminars, and a lot of that is, I don't ever want to do that. I'm never going to use that training in my dog training, but now I know it and I understand it. So super important to get that education. It also sets you apart as somebody in the industry that you care about continuing your education and you want to know what's latest and greatest. But the after hours chatting, that by far is valuable information. Hmm. You know, I thought I wanted to put an in-ground pool in. I'm in Wisconsin, so it would have to be enclosed, right? I have talked to at least 20 people at various conferences about their pools. Basically, unless I go south, I am not putting in an in-ground pool. It is way too much to keep up and maintain in Wisconsin. And so, great. You know what? That saved me almost $200,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's just one example of,
yes,
you know, yeah, a $1 million or a $200,000 idea that you're going to get from investing $500 in a ticket, you know, that, and you're going to get $500 worth of, you know, information and education.
Oh,
but like you said,
yes,
it's the connections, it's the conversations, isn't it? You know?
Absolutely. So I have made lifelong friends from the various conventions that I've gone to. You know, you go, you meet them, you feel a kindred spirit, you Facebook friend each other. And then when things get thrown a curveball to you, you know you have somebody you can reach out. So many times too, it's like, hey, this dog has this weird stuff in their ear, you know? And I remember so-and-so in Kansas is a vet tech or a veterinarian who owns a facility. And so like, I'll video it and then send it to him and go, should I call the pet parent? Do you think it's that bad? Or, you know, so it's just great to have those other people that you feel aren't going to blast you on social media. You know, they're your friends and they're going to help you out and they're in your corner cheering you on immensely. And that, we need that a lot. We need that a lot. We need that cheerleading team. So, and that's the kind of people you're going to find at conventions. So it is worth the, to me, I spend probably $1,000, when I go to convention, cause I take people, I usually take my mom or my daughter or whatever. And I get at least $5,000 worth of information back. I mean, at least, you know, even down to somebody had studied paint colors. What are the best colors to have in your dog daycare? Somebody like had a study on that. And I was like, no way. that's not something
amazing.
I would have searched for, you know, I just would have thrown some color on a wall. I mean, you can see I got yellow behind me. Like, no idea if that's the right color for my cat room or not, but that's what I did.
It's been a good background for this interview anyway.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. So that's just it. You'll always come home wiser than when you went.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Agreed. So Eve, what's the plans for the rest of the year then and the future? You give us a little bit of a hint, but what else is happening?
Yeah. So finishing up my first aid course, and then I'm doing a leadership course for my Dog Handler Academy to help managers and business owners how to hold boundaries with their staff, but be compassionate and loving at the same time. And then lots of travel. So I'm going to all the conventions. Most of them are in the West Coast, except for Hershey. So that'll be interesting. And then looking at how I can jump the ocean there, Dom. My goal is to come to the International Pet Expo in 2025. So I'm excited. Wow. You're going to have to come and show me around.
I'll show you the round. Don't you worry. I'll be the perfect host. Brilliant. Eve, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your story.
Absolutely.
And being so honest about the processes and why you've done what you've done and how you've done what you've done. It's been, I think people will find it really, really enlightening. So thanks very much.
Absolutely. Anytime. I'm always happy to help the industry any way I can.
Thanks to Eve Malzahn. You can catch Eve speaking and see her at the Pet Boarding and Daycare Expo trade show. You can catch me and all the other speakers and all the Barclay crew and all of the ambitious, impactful doggy daycare and pet boarding business owners who are going to be there. Go to petboardingexpowest.com to grab your ticket. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Pet Boarding and Daycare Podcast. To ensure you never miss an episode, make sure you hit subscribe right away. And if you need more help to grow your pet care business, then reach out to Dom at petbusinessmarketing.com.